Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The mission of the YWCA has evolved over the years and now finds itself squarely in sync with major issues of the day facing society in general and women in particular. A look at the local and national perspectives in just a couple of moments. But first, one of the key debates facing legislators at all levels concerns taxation. The debate often centers on the need to manage taxes, to fund government programs, versus the argument that lower taxes actually lead to economic growth. That's where our first guests, Arthur Laffer and Rex Sinkfield, come at it. Laffer is a well-known economist and a former member of the Ronald Reagan team. Missourian Rex Sinkfield, founder of the Show Me Institute Public Policy Research Organization, is a well-known financier philanthropist noted for his considerable financial donations to candidates and causes in this state. They are among a quartet of co-authors of the book, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of States. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Don. Nice to be here.
Art Laffer, nice to meet you after all these years.
Good to meet you, sir.
Been reading about you for a good many years. Let me begin with you. I think most people are going to find it counterintuitive to think that if you lower taxes, there's going to be more money to fund government. How does it work?
Well, sometimes that happens. Sometimes when you lower taxes, you get less money. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you create enough economic activity to actually get more revenues. I mean, let's imagine I taxed you at 100% of everything you earned, so that every time you went into the office, instead of getting a check, you got a bill. How long would you work? You wouldn't. So if you start lowering taxes from very high levels, you can actually sometimes actually increase revenues. And not all the time, but sometimes that happens.
Well, your book looks at all 50 states.
Yes.
Give us a general overview of what you found. Obviously, there's a lot of data in here.
A lot of data. What we look at is we look at those states that introduced an income tax and what happened to them. They all were much worse off as a result of increasing the income tax, putting it in. We look at the zero tax states versus the highest tax rate states. Zero tax rate states just kicked the bejabers out of the highest tax rate states. We then look at the flow of people moving, where they move from and where they move to. They move from the high tax states to the low tax states. I mean, when you look at all of this stuff and put it together, it's pretty powerful that tax rates really make a difference on where economic activity goes and where people go.
Rex Sinkfield, I'll turn to you because I know you've written in Forbes magazine and elsewhere endorsing what Sam Brownback has done in Kansas. And that apparently has not turned out all that well. As a matter of fact, they're talking about making some revisions in what he's done.
Well, we'll have to see what actually happens. But, you know, it was an amazing thing that they did there to cut taxes the way they did. And to cut taxes on businesses, I think, was a stroke of genius. Those are the job creators, and that's where they had a tax rate that went from, I believe, 6.5% to zero on the small and medium businesses. Everybody else had a tax cut, but much smaller in proportion. And the story's not over. These things don't happen overnight. You have to wait a few years for these effects to kick in. You know, if you're a businessman, say you got an office of lawyers or doctors or whatever in Kansas City, Missouri, and now you learn of this, and you go, this is great. We can increase our income every year by 6% just for moving three blocks. You can't do it the next day. You've got lease obligations and things like that. But you'll do it when you can. And that's why these things will take time.
But there's a $279 million gap, I believe, in Kansas right now. And that's going to be a little bit difficult to make up.
I think that has very little to do with taxes per se and has a lot to do with the misestimation of revenues. And Art is the best one to talk about that. He knows a lot about that.
All right, Art.
Kansas is not alone. All the states, nearly all the states,
yeah, 40
made
states.
The same mistake.
Yeah, because Obama raised the taxes on unearned income in 2013. A lot of people in the nationwide, accelerated their income out of 2013 and reported it in 2012 at lower taxes. So what they did in states, 40 states, is they took 2011 number, the 2012 number, and just extrapolated into 2013. And when, in fact, in 2013, it dipped way down. And that caused Kansas that misestimate, $300 million in tax revenues. I mean, there were a couple of other ones that happened in Kansas that had nothing to do with the tax rate reductions that Sam Brownback and the legislature put in. Another one is the courts requiring that they raise the amount they spend on schools from $3,800, I think, to $4,200. Now, whether that goes through the Supreme Court or not, we'll have to see. But those have nothing to do with tax rate reductions.
But what has happened in Kansas has apparently spooked a number of other Republican governors, I might add.
Yes.
Ohio, Arizona, Wisconsin. Apparently, they see what's happened in Kansas and are afraid of it.
Yeah, they're blaming it on something that had nothing to do with the tax cuts mm-hmm. whatsoever. But, you know, it is scary. You know, when you're a politician, you like security, you like warmth, you like comfort. I mean, I spent a little bit of time with your governor here and Jay Nixon, and he said tomorrow morning, all right, you're going to be back in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, and they're scared, and these people are not the central brigade of bold people.
But we still have about 15 or 16 governors around the nation who have publicly committed themselves in their states to cutting their taxes, from Governor LePage of Maine all the way down to Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa. Even Chris Christie said he wants to cut taxes in New Jersey, which was a state that 25, 30 years ago had no income tax, had no sales tax either. Yeah. Now they're a basket case. Christie said when he fixes the finances, he's going to work on getting rid of taxes.
What about the critics who say, however, that what we're looking at here and what we're talking about are called wealth-friendly policies? They're more friendly to the wealthy than they are to the average guy.
They're friendly to the job creators and the investment class. The people who create the jobs are the people who make the investments, the people who run the businesses. If you punish them too much, they're going to stop doing that, or worse yet, they may leave. And so now you've driven out your creation of jobs. So, you know, it's, as Art likes to say, who pays the tax is different than who suffers the burden. Your way.
If you just look at those states with the highest tax rates, let's do the wealth hostile people. Mm-hmm. The 9 highest tax rate states and compare those states with the 9 zero earned income tax rate states. The 9 highest tax rate states are just beaten silly by the lowest income tax rate states. And it includes the poor, the minorities, the disenfranchised. To quote John F. Kennedy on this, the best form of welfare is still a good high-paying job. And if you don't have the job, you'll never get the prosperity.
How does it lead to individual wealth?
Well, what it does is it brings the jobs into the state. You have two locations, A and B. You raise taxes in A and you lower them in B. Producers and manufacturers are going to move from A to B. Jobs flow, and they do flow. They flow across seamless state borders like mad. And those states that cut the tax rates do a lot better, and so do the poor in those states. Minorities, the disenfranchised, all do much better in states that lower taxes than raise them.
So we're seeing not the opposite of this, but we're seeing this manifest itself in the what they're calling inversion, where corporations are leaving this country and going to low tax places.
Touche. That's exactly what you're saying. You're seeing inversions going on where jobs are inverting away from high tax states to lower tax states because of the taxes.
You know, you mentioned your use of statistics, and you use plenty of them in your book. There are a number of critics, however, and I'm coming at this as a devil's advocate. I do not understand the economy, and I make no pretense that I do. However, there are a number of critics who say that what you've done with statistics, Mr. Laffer, has really kind of fudged them and played with them and made them come out the way you want them to come out.
That's not true. I don't know what to say to you. When you look at all 50 states for the last 55 years and look at all of the data for each state, I don't know how that's fudging, but maybe I should have dropped a couple to get them their results. I'm sorry. I don't think that's the way you do it.
Well, I'll quote, good jobs first, an organization, nonpartisan, nonprofit, said your research is deeply flawed. A new study finds that tax and regulatory policies recommended by the American Legislative Exchange Council, we'll talk about that, fail to promote stronger job creation or income growth. The Center on Budget Policies and Priorities and their analysis, Alec and Laffer make many exaggerated claims and manipulate data.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong stuff.
Yeah, in the last chapter here, I have one that I proudly, it's called Au contraire, mon frère, to the contrary, my friend. And I go through all of these silly criticisms and point them out and really demonstrate it. So anytime one of these guys wants to have a debate with Rex or me or Travis, we're all three of the authors of the book, we're on for it. But they don't ever do that for one simple reason. They don't have the wherewithal or the ammunition to really shoot down all of the evidence we present. And it's just truckloads of it in every which way. You slice it, you dice it, you fry it, you boil it, you do everything, and it always comes out. Whenever you pay people not to work and tax people when they do work, you get less work.
You've been talking about this for a long time now, and Rex Singfield, so have you.
Yes.
And yet, we're only talking about a relatively few states that have even tried it. Why?
Oh, no, they all have tried it. Yeah. They just haven't tried it in the extreme version that we're trying to make. Rex, go ahead.
We have 9 states with no income taxes. Remember, we had, as Art alluded to earlier, which this is one of my favorite experiments, we had 11 states going back to 1962 that had no income tax, and 11 of them imposed an income tax on themselves. And every one of those states is worse relative to the national economy after that imposition than they were before. That's the killer argument. What's the odds of getting 11-0 if tax policy makes no difference? I mean, we all know it's talking about something that couldn't happen. Now, the people who support high taxes say we support high taxes because we want social services. The irony is, which states have the fastest growth in government revenues and therefore can provide the greatest social services? It's the no income tax states. Their total revenues grew in the last 12 years 82%. The rest of the nation grew about 52% in government revenues. So if you want to have more government revenues for your state social services, get rid of your income tax, and you will start to grow. And when the state grows, the tax take they're getting from property taxes and sales taxes is going to be multiplied by a gross state product that's rising rapidly. That's how they get more government revenue. That's how they provide more social services than the high tax states.
Can I put it a different way?
Yeah, put it in a way that most people can understand.
It's hard to collect taxes from people who aren't working or leave your state.
That's pretty simple.
You make much of the notion of people leaving states.
It's
as
huge.
If there's some sort of a mass migration. Well, give me some sense of how huge it is.
Oh, it's every single year. You take the bottom 5 or all the worst states. They're Michigan, they're Ohio, they're California, all of those, Illinois, are all right. They're losing all the – and they're all the highest income people going to states like Texas, like Tennessee, like Florida, all the no-income tax states. They're moving there. And the only ones moving into California are low-wage workers, let's put it that way. The people who are going to be unemployed and getting welfare.
And the people who are moving basically are wealthy people.
Well, sure, of course. People who pay taxes care about the amount that they pay. They also find tax shelters. They hire lawyers, accountants. They do all sorts of things to get around taxes.
I think the thing that people may have difficulty getting their arms around is how all of this is really going to help the little guy. I mean, you talk about more jobs. Is that what you're saying?
Well, sure.
More jobs? Higher paying jobs?
Yes. I mean, what you find happening with the example Rex used was all the states that introduced income tax. The only noticeable statistical result from those states is all the civil servants had huge pay increases, but the provision of public services actually declined in those states. They have less teachers per 10,000 of population, less firemen, less highway workers, all of those things actually declined relative to the rest of the nation. Mm. I mean, they didn't even get the money. They didn't even get the services, and yet they did get the higher taxes. Mm.
I have to take a break now. Let's do that. We'll come back and continue this conversation with Art Laffer, the economist, and Rex Singfield, who is a philanthropist and a financier here in St. Louis, well known, I think, to most of our listeners. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. What we're talking about is how to generate more wealth through lower taxes. We'll do that in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Rex Singfield and Arthur Laffer in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. AT&T gave the Urban League a $1.25 million grant today to support the Save Our Sons Workforce Training Program, which targets African-American men between the ages of 21 and 40 residing in Ferguson and surrounding North St. Louis County communities. The Save Our Sons initiative will serve up to 500 men in St. Louis County over the next 2 years. Two North St. Louis County school districts are presenting progress reports to the Missouri State Board of Education at its meeting in Jefferson City today. The board is hearing from officials in Riverview Gardens, which is the only unaccredited district in the state, and Jennings, which is now provisionally accredited but hopes to gain full accreditation later this year. And Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner is expected to issue an executive order later today to strengthen ethics in the executive branch. The Republican who took office yesterday said in his inaugural speech that Illinois has an ethics crisis and restoring trust in government will help make the state more competitive. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day at our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation on how lower taxes can generate economic growth with Arthur Laffer and Rex Singfield. Art Laffer, I'd like to ask you about Alex and your Alec Laffer metrics, which you referred to in the book. Alec, of course, the American Legislative Exchange Council. What are the Alec metrics, the Laffer metrics?
I started these metrics back in 1978 with the passage of Proposition 13. I got really involved in state economics and started developing sort of a comparison of all the 50 states, looking at major policy variables. And I think it was about 9 or 10 years ago, Alec, which is the American Legislative Exchange Council, wanted to take over that progress, and I was very willing to have them do it. So it's really the Alec Laffer, if you will, process. But it's just looking at what the major policy variables are that states can do that can influence economic prosperity and economic growth in those states. Highest income tax rate, corporate tax rate, right to work, all of these types of variables, lawyer-friendly or whether it's work-friendly and a minimum wage. There are a whole bunch of those types of metrics. And then we just keep track of every state every year, and then we rank them according to what their policies are, what we expect them to do, and what they have done.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Mr. Singfield? Let's go to the phones. We have a number of people who want to get into the discussion. Let's bring them in. We'll start with Bill calling from St. Louis. Bill, thanks for being with us. You're on the air.
Sure. Great program as always. I have a comment and a question. These are both very nice men, obviously. I won't belabor the obvious that all Laffer's theories have been discredited by mainstream economists. But my question is, the zero sales tax principle seems to rely a lot on giving an advantage to states that have that. But if it's really successful, all states will go to it, and the states that have it will lose that advantage. So it seems to rely on a house of cards. And then I have a question for Rex, if he's comfortable with it. I know you were a big contributor to Beacon, the St. Louis Beacon. That's certainly your right. It was a wonderful organization. And I was wondering if you continued your contributions to St. Louis Public Radio.
The answer is yes. And I believe what the caller meant was the zero income tax states, not the zero sales tax states. And he said, what if everybody goes to it? It's sort of self-canceling. If everybody goes to it, it's wonderful. Think of the growth the whole nation's going to have. I mean, our competitive advantage relative to other countries will be wonderful. It is true that the state advantage relative to other states may disappear, but it's a wonderful byproduct.
Yeah. There are two things. There's one trait, output creation and output diversion. Now, what he's saying is if all states have zero income tax, there won't be any diversion. In other words, you won't steal jobs from some other state or anything. But all states will be more productive. And that's the point that Rex is making is correct.
Is there a model for this elsewhere in the world, other countries?
Well, sure. Every country does it. Mm-hmm. It's just not quite the same as states because you can move across state borders costlessly. But countries like Hong Kong are fast growing. And then you see high tax rate countries. You saw what happened under Margaret Thatcher and under Ronald Reagan, under Bill Clinton here. Big booms, and then when you saw it under Johnson, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, the stagnation. It's just everywhere. This is not new. Yeah, we didn't discover it. We've just applied it to the states, and God, does it work beautiful.
Look what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed. This is one of my favorite examples because they all got to start. They all had a tabula rasa, which is one of my favorite phrases, which means a blank slate. They got to start over. It was a fresh start. And what did most of them do, including Russia? Their tax structures are very low. Russia has a flat tax of 17%. Scandinavian countries, all these former Soviet countries adopted low tax regimes. They were very smart to do so. Old Europe is stuck in very high tax regimes and basically in heavily welfare countries. They're really, you know, they're suffering economically because of their policies. But the Soviet Union's brushed it all aside and started fresh.
Let's bring in another caller from Sunset Hills. It'll be Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, thanks, Don. You know, I get a little bit the feeling when I listen to these arguments that I'm at the carnival and trying to win something from a carnival game, and P.T. Barnum is standing back there grinning, waiting for me to put down my money. You know, I would like to hear a debate between someone like Nick Hanauer or Robert Reich and these fellows. You know, Nick Hanauer is a venture capitalist who's made millions, and he says that when you lower taxes on the rich people sock it away, they don't invest it, and it becomes unavailable to the economy, and causes the kind of stagnation that was seen after 2008. You know, that just makes common sense to me. Nick Hanauer says, you know, when he has $10 million on hand, he doesn't go out and buy 10 million times as much jeans as I buy. That just seems like common sense. He socks it away. I'd like to hear a response at least to that, but, you know, why don't we see a debate between the Alex Folks and someone like Hanauer or Robert Reich?
Art Lavery, go ahead.
Yeah, I've debated Robert Reich 20 times. Mm-hmm. He's a great personal friend. I like him a lot. He's a very animated person. I think he's honest, straightforward. You should come and see some of those debates. I whop him badly. No, I'm just teasing. But I don't think Robert Reich disagrees in the long run with us. I mean, Austin Goolsbee doesn't either. They know that what you want is a low-rate, broad-based flat tax. So you provide people with the least ability to evade the taxes and the lowest rate, so they have the least incentives to try to evade taxes. And then you go on with life, and that's the way you should do it. And I don't think any of these economists really disagree with that, except in times of crisis, which is in their lives every day.
You know, I think there's a certain mistrust, and that question reflects it, of corporations who are dedicated, obviously, to profits. We all understand that.
Yeah.
That's what business is about. But that they don't always put those profits back into the workforce, higher wages, that sort of thing. I think of 2008 when the economy went south and the corporations had all this cash that they sat on rather than put it out there and help to kind of revive the economy. Why should we trust that this is going to happen, that the corporations will act responsibly?
Well, you shouldn't trust. Corporations are after incentives just like all the rest of us. And when corporations have good uses for their money, they'll put it back out to work. But we today have the highest statutory corporate tax rate in the world, and we have the fourth lowest revenues as a share of GDP in the world of taxes. Tell me about it. I mean, the only ones who beat us in lower revenues are those that have no corporate tax. I mean, it's ridiculous. If we made our country competitive, all of these inversions wouldn't happen. The money'd come flowing back into the U.S., and so would the jobs. But no, no, no. Obama and the Republicans as well have never taken this on and lowered that rate to being really competitive.
Well, apparently they're going to this time. What we hear from Washington is perhaps the only area in which the Congress and the White House can agree is on lowering the corporate income tax.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Well, I'm not the only one saying it.
Let's hope it works.
Let's look at how the taxes have gone up in the last 6 years. We've had an increase in the capital gains rate, 5 percentage points, an increase of the top marginal bracket of 5 percentage points, basically,
true,
and an increase in the Affordable Care Act of 5 percentage points on passive investment income. Mm-hmm. This is 15 percentage points in increases in taxes. That's the same as lowering the expected return on new investments. Is it any surprise there aren't new investments being made? It's not because they're hoarding the money. The great new investment projects were knocked off the table with increased taxation.
You know, we only have a few seconds left, and I want to get one question to you, Rex Sinkfield, in before we go, and I hope you can answer it in 30 seconds. your thoughts, it's off point, your thoughts about the Claire McCaskill not getting into the gubernatorial race. I know you have friends on the other side that you're financing.
I do. I think it's very fortunate for Democrats to avoid a primary battle. Those are very difficult things for a party candidate to deal with.
Does it make it easier for your friends?
Well, it makes it easier for Chris Koster. And the Republican side, we may see a primary battle.
I wish we had more time to talk about this and other things. Thank you, Art Laffer, for being with us and explaining your theory and your project. Rex Sinkfield, great to see you again. We thank you. The book, once again, is An Inquiry into the Nature and Cause of the Wealth of States. We'll be doing subsequent programs on the merits and demerits of tax policies on future St. Louis programs. Coming up, the YWCA and its programs to level society's playing field. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.